This is Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Good morning. We need Olivia Chow as mayor of Toronto. That's what a well-placed friend at City Hall said to me yesterday. Now, to be clear, this person is not a fan of Olivia Chow. Neither am I. Here's the argument. My friend, who's been at City Hall for some time, says that the people of Toronto do not realize how bad things are. We as citizens and taxpayers have not internalized the depth of the financial and service issues we have. The city is short $1 billion with an obligation to balance the budget and an ongoing desperate need for some reason to provide nice things like the on-again Canada Day celebrations at Nathan Phillips Square at the expense of kicking need-to-haves like road maintenance down that crumbling road. CTV's Natalie Johnson is doing a series of reports on a crumbling city. Tonight, she's going to be talking about potholes, the Gardener, broken amenities, poorly coordinated road construction, no money for capital repairs. Can the city afford to invest in maintaining a state of good repair? Can it afford not to? She'll join me later at 11 o'clock this morning to follow up on that. But people complain about garbage uncollected and spilling out of containers. Violence on the TTC and in the streets is seen by many as so bad they're afraid to get on the subway. Housing prices are out of sight. And while we're building, we're still not doing it fast enough to bend the supply and demand curve in favor of buyers and renters. A number of the people leading the polls in the race for mayor are the very councillors who got us here. So why do we need Olivia? According to my friend, major problems, personal or system related, do not get solved until there's an intervention and we hit rock bottom. If we need to go through the pain of rock bottom before the city gets their act together, makes grown-up decisions that will be accepted by a beaten-down public, like an alcoholic who finally clues into the problem, Olivia will get us there. She will hurry the process of hitting rock bottom, and that's the sort of punishment we need. She is, as she said, ready to tax. She has a plan to solve our transit issues. Her plan is to spend a lot more money making the subway trains, buses, and streetcars come by more often. Super. People are worried about getting stabbed, not that they have to wait two more minutes for the subway. The Mark Saunders campaign says Chow has tried cutting police budgets for years. Mark Saunders, in case you forgot, used to be the chief of police. Can we count on Chow to really lean into tackling crime or to find ways to spend money on feel-good but ultimately ineffective so-called solutions like safe injection sites? Her plan for the housing crisis is to increase renters' rights when landlords are already fighting an ineffective landlord and tenant board that allows non-paying residents to cling to an apartment like ticks. What will that do to investment in the city? Well, her plan to counter what will undoubtedly be a lack of investment is to have the city build the housing. So she'll attack the good landlords and developers and then turn the job over to the worst landlord in Toronto, which is the City of Toronto. The city has no record of an ability to do any construction project anywhere near budget and within the same calendar year of the announced completion date. She's also going to have to whack us with taxes to raise the capital to do that building. Will she follow the lead of some other candidates and any sensible person and drop the policy the city has that forces us to pay more than we need to because they will only hire from a cozy little list of some unionized contractors? Unlikely. And by the way, that costs the city millions every year. Chow is the woman who always used her position and money to benefit herself first. She and Jack Layton, as a couple, who you would think could save us money in Ottawa when they were both MPs by sharing an apartment, claimed the highest expenses of all Canadian MPs, insisting it cost them more to serve us as a couple in the capital than it did for an MP from northern BC. She lived in social housing. Her defenders said, oh, she paid market rate. But it was market rate in a space that was supposed to be available to lower-income people who were then blocked out of it by Chow and Layton. There's nothing to indicate that she cares more for the general public's financial issues today than she ever did. Lip service is one thing, but in reality, she's all about Olivia and quite willing to follow a lefty agenda, much of which got us here in the first place. So that's the case for Olivia as mayor of Toronto. We need someone who will continue to drive the city into the ground such that the public that still sees government's job as babysitting them and providing everything they want finally get it. That we need to look after affordability and public safety with a balanced budget. As Doug Ford said,
The lefty mayor gets in there, God help the people of Toronto. We saw it before when Rob was there. Taxes going through the roof, you know, out of control spending, worrying about, you know, lining the pockets of City Hall's coffers. We have a different philosophy. Our philosophy is put money back into the taxpayers' pockets, reinvest into companies, and that's how you have a thriving economy. But folks, I'll tell you, if a left-wing mayor gets in there, We're toast. I'll tell you, it'd be a disaster in my opinion.
All right. So do you get the backhanded compliment that my friend was passing along and that I amplified on here today? Toronto needs Olivia Chow. I mean, I was shocked when he said it to me, and maybe you were shocked to hear me lead off by saying that's what we need. But apparently, we need to hit rock bottom, because my friend from City Hall was saying the citizenry doesn't really understand the trouble we're in. And I understand it from this extent. Yesterday, I talked to people on this show when we thought they had canceled the Canada Day celebrations at Nathan Phillips Square. And I said, well, that's at least one fiscally responsible thing they're doing. And people were upset about that. And I said, we're $1 billion in the hole. $1 billion in the hole in a city that's supposed to be able to balance its budget. That's mandated by other levels of government that don't balance their budget. But that's another story. And people just, I don't care. I don't care. We should just have the celebration. We should just spend the money. Because some people don't have the money to go out and have a good time, so we should provide it. No, we shouldn't. No, we shouldn't. Nobody formed a government to get free fireworks. Here is Ted in the West End.
Jerry, I support you 100% on what you're talking about with Olivia Chow. I just wanted to add that if you look probably at her financing, it all comes from union sources. And I believe that the only reason why she's there is to bolster unionized workers in Toronto and the union movement. She doesn't really care anything about the people of Toronto. She just wants to get more people unionized in working for the city. That's it.
She is a tax and spend politician. And she has said, and if you're going to vote for her, keep this in mind, I'm ready to tax. Other candidates are saying, if you look at her policies, she's going to increase your taxes 20%, or she won't be able to do what she said she's going to do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's all, the main goal is to get more people working in the unions in Toronto. That's it. That's it. She doesn't care about the people of Toronto. She's going to actually increase the cost of living in Toronto, increase the price of housing. When you increase taxes, that makes it more unaffordable for someone to own a house. And your rent goes up also because of that.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, 416-872-1010. You can text me at 71010. I'll just have a couple of minutes for this and we'll move on to other things. But it just is an interesting concept that when my friend mentioned it to me, I thought, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Here is Kevin downtown.
Hey, Jerry, with all respect, as always, but I don't see how any mayor that gets in the office can not increase taxes.
Well, they could find ways to stop spending extra money. That would be one thing they could do. Like, yeah, wasn't it initially for the 15 minutes they thought about doing it, a smart thing to say, we can't afford to do a bunch of celebrations at Nathan Phillips Square on Canada Day. Sorry, we just can't afford it.
Yeah, I think that one is like, let's take the heat off, we're back out of the pandemic, blah, blah, blah type thing. It's almost like, yeah, we need that one.
Okay, do we need the rubber duck on the lake? Do we need the World Cup? Do we need that stuff?
No, well, the World Cup, I think that should be a dollar-for-dollar scenario.
Well, that's going to cost us millions and millions of dollars.
Absolutely, without a doubt. But listen, if you came into the office, you or I came into the office, Jerry, and we had $1 billion in the hole,
Well, I'll tell you what my first message would be if I was elected mayor.
Okay.
All you people who think that the city is here to babysit you, buckle up, baby, because it's going to be a rough ride. Thanks for your call.
You're bang on, Jerry.
All right. And that's the problem, is I constantly hear from people, anytime you talk about making sense out of a government budget, oh, no, I want the city to look after me and provide my entertainment. Well, you're the problem. This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network.